Yes, hello everyone and welcome to the Dribble Podcast. My name is Craig O'Donoghue from the West Australian newspaper, and throughout this summer I'll be bringing you all the news and interviews for everything you need to know about basketball in WA. Round one of the NBL tipped off on the weekend and it was a dramatic one for the Perth Wildcats. RAC Arena was buzzing on Friday night when they beat the Tasmania Jack Jumpers 101-95, but things fell apart big time during the third quarter against South East Melbourne Phoenix on Sunday, and they lost 110-99. So it was a weekend of mixed emotions for the Wildcats, and it was a weekend of mixed emotions for my guest as well, but he certainly grabbed everyone's attention with the way he played on Sunday.
Henschel, he'll launch one from three and rattles in the three ball. Henschel, what a move to go reverse and puts it in. Catch and shoot. Money for Ben Henschel.
Yes, it was money for Ben Henschel during the preseason when he was over in America, and then he didn't get any time on court in game one, but he certainly got time on court in game two over the weekend. Ben Henschel, welcome to Dribble Podcast.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Now, you are a WA boy. It's your first NBL season. How many family and friends rocked up to RAC Arena on Friday night, assuming that you would get minutes?
I think it was 18 family members, and then, I don't know, a handful of friends, maybe 10.
So it was an awkward conversation post-game with them about what the hell happened?
It wasn't much of a conversation because I didn't really want to talk to anyone after the game, but they're all supportive. They're coming to this next game as well, so should be good.
So you started on the bench in all of the preseason games and got heaps of opportunities and seized those moments as well. So what did you think when you weren't actually getting on court in that Tassie game?
Yeah, I mean, as the game was going on, I was still hopeful that I was going to get on the court. I went into the game thinking I was going to play. But yeah, some things don't happen. So yeah, I was pretty frustrated sitting on the end of the bench. But I mean, we got the win, so I can't really complain too much.
John really openly said on Sunday after the game against South East Melbourne that you were pissed at him. So he's publicly admitted that you weren't happy. Take us inside the chat that a 19-year-old with zero NBL experience has with the head coach when something like that happens.
Yeah, I mean, he could obviously see I was annoyed. Kind of just the next day, he sat down with me and he said he sees that I'm frustrated, and he said it's a good thing that I'm frustrated because it shows that I care. And he said, like, when my opportunity comes, I just got to take it. And then that's what I did on the weekend.
So that the next day you flew, was that at the airport? Was it before you left? Was it on the plane?
No, I had a little workout in the morning before we took off, so it was just at Bender.
Were you pretty confident that it was a conversation that you could have with the coach at your age and level of experience, or were you a little bit nervous talking to him about it?
No, even if he didn't, he came up to me and had the conversation, but even if he didn't, I'm pretty open to talking about things with JR, so I would have gone up to him and had the conversation regardless.
So he mentioned after Friday night's game that he had challenged guys like yourself and David Aquera, who didn't get on court, that the opportunity would come and you need to make the most of it. Did hearing that post-game, even before Saturday, make you feel like you were going to have more chances in that next game?
Yeah, I mean, I was hopeful. We had Ty Webster, unfortunately, go down with the injury, so that kind of opened up some playing time for me. And when I'm on the court, I play with confidence, so I kind of just took it and ran with it.
What's the relationship like between you and John?
It's really good. It's really open. Couple of jokes in there. He likes to make fun of me a little bit, but no, it's off the court. He's a really good guy. It's really easy to talk to him, and on the court, he wants the best for me. So, however he displays that, I take all his feedback on board.
So you fly over to Melbourne, and then you make your official debut with 3:40 left in that first quarter. When you got onto court, what did it feel like?
It felt amazing. I mean, I've been dreaming about this time for a while now, so yeah, to finally get on the court with those guys, it was a pretty special feeling.
And then you were involved in the absolute highlight of that first term.
Tyler Cook's had a productive first quarter. That time though, Sars long levers did enough to wrench it away. Caught in the dive for okay. Henschel. You're kidding me.
Okay.
So nobody saw it coming. Did you know that pass was coming from Bryce Cotton over his right shoulder?
I didn't know that exact pass was coming, but I could feel something was coming. He has a lot of tricks, so I knew something was going to pull something out.
It must have been weird. Like, when you're running down court thinking he's going to pull something out of the bag, like, do you know any idea about where he's going to aim to send the ball? Or were you just charging into space, assuming he'll see you eventually?
Yeah, I was just running into space. I had an open court in front of me, so I was just trying to make myself available. And, yeah, I saw the ball come towards me.
Did you feel a bit of pressure when that ball came over the shoulder thinking, I need to finish this playoff now? Because what he's done is quite remarkable.
I wouldn't say I felt pressure, but I have been missing quite a few dunks at training lately, so I was just hoping I wouldn't miss that dunk.
Really? You've been missing dunks at training. How does that go down with the boys?
It's a bit of a laugh. Sometimes it's for game. It's just a bit of a laugh.
And then from there, you went absolutely nuts. Like, you were super impressive. 24 points, 5 rebounds, 1 assist, 2 steals. The team was in foul trouble. The scoreboard was starting to blow out. What was it like being the guy who was actually getting this team going?
To be honest, I was just playing basketball. I wasn't really thinking about too much. I was just going out there. I felt comfortable. I felt like I involved myself in the game well. So I was just playing basketball.
And you do look comfortable. Every time you get on the court, you look comfortable, regardless of the level that we've seen you play at. Did you expect it to feel different this time when you're making your NBL debut?
A little bit. I think at REC Arena, the crowd is crazy there. So I don't really get nervous, but I was getting a bit nervous sitting on the bench. But yeah, the second time around, I was just ready to go. I was fired up.
They were loud there the other day. I was fortunate to be in Melbourne for covering the grand final as well as your game. So I was in the building, which I'm not normally for away games. That was a really loud South East Melbourne crowd. And they were up in your face a fair bit as well. What was the overall atmosphere like?
It was loud. It was you kind of, when you're on the court, you kind of just zone out of everything. But yeah, especially shooting free throws, you can hear the crowd going crazy trying to get the Hungry Jacks.
Does that add the pressure? How do you find when that's going on?
A little bit, but as I said, you kind of just zone out. You kind of just play.
Well, here's an impressive stat. The NBL's been going for a hell of a long time, and there's been some bloody good players who have gone through the system, and you are the first Australian to top score in any NBL game on debut. How does that sit with you?
Yeah, I don't think it's really set in. I didn't know that was something I was going towards, but yeah, it's pretty cool just to have my name in that kind of record book.
Which is the coolest stat, that one, or the fact that it was also heavily promoted that you and Joe Ingles are the only players under the age of 20 to score 20 points on debut? Out of those two stats, highest Australian point scorer on debut or sit next to Joe Ingles, which one of those do you enjoy the most?
I'm just going to say both of them. They're both really cool. I mean, having my name in the same category as Joe Ingles is pretty cool. I'll probably say that one, yeah.
Yeah, I'd say that one as well if I was you. Yeah, it's very cool to have. John really mentioned when you were recruited that before you arrived at the club, you practiced with the squad last year, and that he was instantly taken with your ability to fit in. And that was when he decided that he really wanted to recruit you. Do you recall much about those sessions?
Every time I'd come home for a couple, for a weekend or a couple of days, because I was in Canberra at the AIS. So yeah, every time I came home, I went in and did some training with them. I think I was just on the scout team, like the team that, I could pretty much do whatever I wanted on that team because it was more of just the training guys, not the playing guys. So yeah, I mean it was cool to see all those guys in action and play against them before I signed.
You've been given a lot of exposure, haven't you? The opportunity to do that, the opportunity to be part of Boomers training squads as well. Like, when you're so young and you're being exposed to these sorts of players, how do you approach those sorts of sessions?
Just being super open. I mean, there's guys that have been around the league, around different leagues for a long time, so they have a lot of knowledge. So, yeah, going into that really open and just ready to learn as much as I can.
What's your favourite memory of doing stuff with the Australian team?
Favourite memory? I'd probably just say getting to know everyone. Like, that first day I got there, I was pretty nervous, but everyone was super welcoming. But, like, just sitting around dinner with a bunch of different guys you've never met and just hearing about their life experiences is pretty cool.
So do you feel pressure in these situations when you're on the court in games, when you're being looked at by different people, when you're being given opportunities? Do you feel those pressure, or do you look at it and say, well, this is what I want to do, and just stay quite relaxed?
Yeah, I think I stay pretty relaxed. There's obviously a lot of outside noise, but when I'm playing basketball, I don't really think about anything else.
So let's go to those G League Ignite games when there's so many scouts in the stands from the NBA that isn't funny, and they're looking at everyone, and you're going really, really well against elite competition. How did you find those games?
Yeah, they were really cool. Just putting us against a lot of younger athletic guys around my age, seeing how I fit in playing against those guys. Yeah, it was a really cool experience to just fly to Vegas and play a couple games in front of a bunch of different NBA scouts, whoever was there. Yeah, it was a pretty good experience.
Was there a player going into those matches who you'd scouted a little bit yourself and thought, oh, I want to play against this person and test myself in this way or that way, or take one of his skills and try to create a bit for yourself?
Not really. I'll say I looked into London Johnson a little bit just because he's around my position. So I wanted to see how I'd match up against him, and I think I did pretty well.
Yeah, certainly did more than pretty well. Are you noticing the attention that's coming now from the outside world about your potential? Or have you felt that it's always been there, but you just haven't been on Broadway for all of us to see you?
Yeah, I think I've been growing my game over the last couple of years at the AIS. And I mean, I'm confident in my game. Like the coaches, the players are confident. So yeah, I think it's my time that people see I can run with NBL guys and hopefully NBA guys.
You captained the Centre of Excellence in NBL 1 East. What did that do for you?
Yeah, I think that just really helped my confidence. We had Alex Tilley. We had a bunch of guys playing alongside me, but some of them went to college, some of them had to go do other things, so it came down to I was the main guy in that team, so that boosted my confidence like a lot. Just being able to control the game, handle the ball, and even just lead the team, it's definitely helped me a lot.
What sort of a leader are you when you get those sorts of things? Are you a vocal leader? Are you a demonstrative sort of person? Or are you a bit more quiet when you're in a leadership position?
I'm a bit more quiet, I think, especially before the game. But once the game gets going, I'm pretty loud on the bench, loud on the court. But yeah, I'd say like before the game, I'm pretty quiet.
So you're a totally different human. We see that with a lot of athletes, that they're different people once they get into their favorite environment, which is in the middle of a game. Would you say your personality changes once the match starts?
Yeah, 100%. I think, yeah, as I just said, I'm a bit more quiet, a bit more locked in before the game. But yeah, as soon as you get a bit of adrenaline flowing, I'm up and about.
Tell us about the entire experience of being in Canberra.
Yeah, that was really cool. So I went there just after my under-18s campaign with WA. And then I did a year and 8 months or something there. At the start, I was super skinny. I weighed like 70, 72 or something. And I put on about 13 to 15 kgs in a couple of years. So that was really helpful for me. And then as my months progressed, we started seeing a lot of guys leaving. Like we had Tyrese Proctor, Alex Condon, guys like that there when I started. So I was kind of just coming off the bench, playing minutes here and there. And then once all those guys left, my basketball just changed completely.
So that weight you put on, was that purely from being in the gym? Did they change your eating habits? Like, how did you manage to bulk up so significantly?
Yeah, it was a bit of both. Just that consistent gym work. We were doing, four or five or six days a week. And then, yeah, just eating. We had buffets, breakfast, lunch, and dinners provided for us. We had snacks whenever we wanted. So it made life a lot easier.
And then college, definitely came knocking, I reckon, for you. There would have been everyone after you, and you made the decision to stay in Australia and go pro. Take us through that decision and how you made it, because it's a difficult call to make. Do you go overseas and experience one thing, or do you stay at home and start getting paid and doing the job that you love on such a big stage?
Yeah. So when I was a bit younger, I had a college talk about what college would be like, and that kind of just threw me off college. It was meant to be the other way, but it threw me off college. So ever since about year 10, I kind of just never really wanted to go to college. I kind of wanted to stay and play professionally straight away. But once I went to the COE, a bunch of the guys were going off to college doing their thing, and I was thinking about it. I was regretting my choice a little bit, but then I realized I could get a full contract spot over a DP, and yeah, that just changed my mindset again.
What put you off in those chats about college? Was it anything about the program, or was it the educational part combined with the program, or was it something different altogether?
I think it was more the educational stuff. Like, I wasn't a big fan of going to school, and I had sat down with my mum, and we realized I'm not a big fan of going to school. I don't think I'll be a big fan of moving to America and going to school. So, yeah, I think we made the right decision.
Yeah, I reckon you made the right decision as well. This Wilton High School, some good, bloody good players have gone through there. Luke Travers, Luke Jackson, there's a couple who instantly come to mind. Was that one of the things that drew you to going to Wilton, the fact that those guys have been through, or you knew a lot about the program as well?
So I wanted to go to a basketball scholarship school. I started at Lynwood in year 7, and then moved over in year 8. That was good for my basketball as well. We trained twice a week, I think it was, at school, but we were always around other basketball players. Like recess and lunch, we'd go shoot. So yeah, that Willerton was a good fit for me.
It's amazing to think that your first impression of basketball wasn't favourable. You preferred footy, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. When I first started playing basketball, I hated it, apparently. This is what my mum said. My mum and dad said we went to a camp at Willerton Basketball Stadium, and I hated it. So I was playing soccer at the time as well, but somehow my parents encouraged me to stay with basketball, and I think it's turned out pretty good.
Yeah, I reckon, as we said, everything has turned out pretty good for you. You're a big Wildcats fan as a kid, though, weren't you?
Yeah, huge. Yeah, I always grew up watching them play. My mum and dad love watching them play, so whenever I was home, it was on the TV.
Who was your favourite player?
Damian Martin, for sure.
And you would have caught up with him, I'd imagine, already now that you're an actual Wildcats player. Has he put his head back in as the retired great that he is to say good day?
Yeah. I've had a couple of good conversations with him. We always stay in touch. He congratulates me a lot. So, yeah, he's a really good guy.
Tell me a bit about the family. What do your mum and dad do? Are they basketball people? You got siblings who are also into it also?
Yeah, so mum and dad, dad works at a pool company, does all heating for pools. Mum works at the hospital. My mum grew up playing basketball, grew up playing netball. My dad, I don't think he played basketball, but he played other sports. My mum's a big fan of basketball. She's always watching basketball. Even if I'm not playing, she's always watching it. And then I've got an older brother who's just turned 22. He played semi-professional soccer a couple of years ago. He's a goalkeeper, but he kind of stopped playing due to work. But I think he's seen what I've been doing with basketball, and I think he regrets not playing when he was younger. But yeah, he's started to become really supportive. He never used to really watch me, but he's become really supportive of me now.
So important to have the family behind you, isn't it? Like, it's such a difficult sport to be involved with at any level, let alone when you're in an elite level, that you need the family support to help you in every way.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, yeah, it's a tough league to play in, and just coming home and being able to have a conversation with them, it's really good.
It's an interesting group, this Wildcats group. You've got some veterans, you've got some new faces. Like, who do you hang with? Who have you become really close with?
Everyone's cool. Jordan Usher, me and him have a pretty good pretty good connection. But yeah, there's a bunch of young guys there now, Alex Saar, Dante, those guys are real cool. So yeah, I hang out with them probably the most, but everyone in the team, Corey, Ty, Jesse, they all help me out. And yeah, they're all really good blokes.
Did you see the social media video that the Wildcats put out of Jordan Usher cheering you on like crazy during one of those games in the US?
Yeah, I did see that. Yeah, it was pretty funny. I didn't even realise he was marked up that game. But no, he was hyping me up.
Does the NBA dream start to feel a bit more real now that you've played an NBL game and you know that, you know, what the junior stuff that you do correlates to open age basketball?
Yeah, it is getting a bit more real to me. But as of now, I'm kind of just focusing on the season. I think if I'm playing good basketball, if we're winning, things will line up.
As I said, you were an elite WA junior, and the National Indigenous Basketball Tournament was played last week, and WA's juniors did exceptionally well. Both the boys and girls took home the titles. That's an under-17s comp, which was held in Queensland. So congratulations to them. WA beat Queensland South, 48-45 in the gold medal match with Luciana Edgar top scoring with 21 points and Dante Woods finishing the tournament ranked equal third for scoring. So one of the boys. And in the girls, WA beat New South Wales 43-40 and Mahalia Rukuata top scored with 9 points. That was a really even team with no player ranked in the top dozen for scoring across the tournament, which just shows how well they worked together. A hell of a lot of those kids came through the Binar program. So it's brilliant to see the success of that program coming to the fore. You must be really excited to hear anything about the junior system going really well. It's going really well for WA at the moment.
Yeah, that's awesome. Shout out to them. That's awesome.
And you've got the Pink game this weekend on Friday night against Adelaide. It's a huge week for the club with the annual Breast Cancer Awareness Game. The Jungle will become pink to raise money and awareness of breast cancer care WA. $1 from every ticket sold will go to Breast Cancer Care WA. And you can buy Ben Hinchell's uniform after the game, along with every other players, which will be up for auction as well. They're a big occasion. You would have been to a few of these, wouldn't you?
I don't think I've ever been to one, actually. I think every time they've been on, I've been away, so...
Are you excited about participating in one then? Because the atmosphere, having been to all of them myself, it's a really cool atmosphere. It must be something that you'd be looking forward to playing in.
Yeah, for sure. It's going to be awesome.
And you get to meet Dawn Gleeson, obviously Trevor Gleeson's wife and the woman who inspired this concept due to surviving breast cancer twice. You get to meet her before, during the week as part of the build-up. What do you think that will be like?
I think it's going to be pretty special just being able to hear her story and... hear from someone that's been through that and the reason why we're playing this game. I think it's going to be really special.
So head down to RSRN on Friday night against Adelaide. Put on your pink. Donate as much as you can. It's such a wonderful cause. Look, thanks for joining us, Ben. It's great to chat. You're a really cool story, and I know the fans will certainly look forward to seeing you develop for the rest of this year and hopefully into the future with much bigger things than even being in Australia.
Thank you.
Well, that's it for this week's episode of the Dribble Podcast. You can read all of your basketball news in the West Australian and at thewest.com.au. We'll be back next week with another episode of the Dribble Podcast.